Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, I am suffering today.
I know.
I have a cornucopia of problems. I was fucking dicking around with the trash cans here at Etal, where there is an empire of rodents.
Oh, God. Just the idea of you. You got to turn me down. I think I'm going to be too loud on this show. I can feel it. I can feel it going off already. Okay.
So
the moment you said I was dicking around with the trash cans at Etal, I assumed at first that you meant at home, and then said Etal, and I was like, no. One, it smells terrible back there. Two, you know the rodents are everywhere, and you know there's so much just junk back there.
Out lilac. In the alley. It's Lilac Alley? Well, that's a public restroom.
It's a very cute alley. I mean, it's a very cute name for an alley that's horrific.
Yes.
It's a public restroom. It's true.
That's a public restroom. Whew, lordy, the things I've seen back there.
I don't want any descriptions, especially graphic. Absolutely not.
I would eternal sunshine that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, look.
Okay, that's how your morning started, and then you rubbed your face.
And now my eye is exploding.
With rat juice.
My eye is fucking exploding.
Why did you wash your... Stop! Hey, stop.
I can't stop rubbing it. You itches. Have
to stop. Okay. I need you to rub it with like something soft or just like tap another area of your body or something.
Okay. I went and saw La Luce, which is... They're originally from Seattle, but now Space Moth, Miriam Kutis is in the band. She plays keyboards and she's correct. Bay Area. And the lead singer now, who is like the front woman, you know, main person of the band, Shauna Cleveland, lives in Grass Valley. So they're relatively local, kind of.
Don't you have a tie to Grass Valley? Doesn't your mom's best friend live there or
something? Yes, Gail.
Gail. So you're basically related.
Yes.
This is like a 7 degrees of separation
situation. I can't believe you remember Gail lives in Grass Valley.
Why? Of course I know this is a common discussion.
Obscure detail.
No, I hear it all the time. Oh, my mom's going to Grass Valley.
Yeah.
She's visiting her best friend, Gail.
Yes, Gail.
And I love that she's visiting her best friend, Gail.
Gail's like my auntie, but she also is like a hardcore Trump supporter. So it's hard to swallow. Gail, get on board,
Grass Valley's kind of a wreck that way, though. That's understandable.
Isn't it?
It's not understandable, but I understand.
It's predictable.
Predictable. There we go.
Anyhow, I saw La Luce and Space Moth open for La Luce, and I was in heaven. The only problem was it was at this venue called the Cornerstone in Berkeley.
And religious.
I'm so sorry. There is Cornerstone Church.
I know. Why would you call your venue Cornerstone?
Well, Cornerstone isn't religious necessarily. Why do you know about Cornerstone Church? I thought that was an Ohio thing.
It's all over the world, isn't it? Isn't it Cornerstone like
Oh, it's like a chain?
I thought it was like a religious festival, like a Jesus festival.
Is there a Cornerstone festival?
I think so.
I thought a cornerstone is just the stone in the corner of a building.
Well, it's now called Jesus.
Wow. Jesus, you took over the cornerstone.
When I think of the word cornerstone, I think of religious.
So now every building with a cornerstone is Christian?
If they're calling it cornerstone, if they're saying this is our cornerstone, then yeah, I'm convinced you're Christian and you're extreme.
Wow. Okay, keep this in mind, listeners. Anyhow, I have to give the venue like a 5 out of 10 because the sound system was awful.
Shit.
The bass, when the bass really got rolling, it was so loud. It like fucking distorted and drowned.
Don't you think
out.
That was a mix issue?
Whatever was going on. Because like the band was visually upset by it.
Oh.
Like
Shauna
Cleveland.
They didn't do a sound check?
I don't know. Like it was rough when Space Moth was opening. And then in the in-between when they were setting up, Space Moth was like talking to the sound person about monitors or
through
whatever.
The mic?
No, just like on stage.
Okay.
And so I knew there were sound fuck-ups, but I don't know. They couldn't fix it.
Dang.
And then I was really bummed out, and I was like, damn, I want to see them again in better conditions. And I was this close to going to Felton, California.
Oh, my God.
To see them again.
You're on one.
I'm a groupie.
You are. Well, you're
having a personal
maybe you should start the fan club. Maybe you should start the fan
club.
Well,
I started the Space Moth subreddit.
Oh, that's right. So it's basically a fan club.
Go to reddit.com/r/Space Moth. Please, come on. Space Moth.
Space Moth. Has anyone responded?
It's just me. It's just me and Katie.
Oh my God. You guys, someone who knows about Space Moth, please get on there and add some content.
Yes.
Kate and Katie don't need another way to communicate to one another. Jesus Christ. You guys are just starting new things just so you can have different ways to communicate.
Chit chat. Well, it's just mainly me being like, Katie, you got to post on Space Moth today. We got to really up the ante.
You got to really get people. You got to go get them.
Okay. Well, that was Space Moth Corner.
I went to a show. Jimbo and I went to a show last week. We went to go see Ledward Keapana,
who's
a really well-known Hawaiian musician.
Sick.
He is awesome. He comes from like a lineage of like Hawaiian music, like family. And we saw him in, Concord.
Oh.
Which is a place I don't think I've ever been to be going
on. Concord.
Concord. I don't know how to say it even. Concord. At a place called House of Hawaiian Music.
Wait, this is wild. When did you go?
We went like last week.
What the hell?
Last Friday. What's today? Friday. Today's Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we went on Friday.
That's so wild. You were just in Hawaii and then you come
back.
Well,
because Ledward is someone who we've seen in Hawaii, both in Oahu and Big Island.
Whoa.
And so he's just like, if you like Hawaiian music, he is the real deal.
Yeah.
And he's one of the like last guys standing kind of from this certain generation of, he's probably in his 70s or 80s.
Uh-huh.
And all of his, what's the word? The people in your same circle, not colleagues, but
peers.
All his peers,
circle.
They all passed away. Like the other musicians died young, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of the last guy standing. So Jimbo looks him up every time we go to Hawaii to see if we can find him somewhere, like go to him wherever he is.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happened that when we were there, he was here for a while, sometimes. So then when we got back, he was still here. So we went to go see him.
That's so wild.
And it's cute because we're definitely the youngest people, and Jimbo and I aren't young anymore, but we're the youngest people in the room whenever we go to these things. I'm always just like, I can't deal. I'm like, I don't know why I have such a hard time. We were standing in line on the street of Concord.
Concord.
And there was, I was like, Jimbo, I got to get out of this line. It's driving me crazy. Just hearing about all the,
what were you hearing?
Just the conversations. I just couldn't deal with them. I think we'd also just gotten back.
What were they about? Like getting your dentures fitted?
No, they were all about Hawaii, but it was like a lot of white people talking about Hawaii, like they fucking own it. And it just like, it just rubbed me the kind of wrong way.
Yeah.
They were all nice people. They were nice. They probably have a lot of, you know, people who probably
good
live there and here,
them.
Like, I'm sure that they are deeply invested in the parts of Hawaii where they visit or where they live part of the year.
Like, damn, these are like summering in Hawaii people.
I don't know if they're summering, but
wintering.
Look, the snowbirds. The audience was like a mixed crowd. We just happened to be standing behind three older white women.
Now we're really getting the dish. This is the real dish.
Who were lovely, but I just couldn't. I just like, they were talking loudly. They had perfume was way too strong.
Ooh, perfume.
I was just like, and we were outside and I had to like literally turn with my back to them to not be kind of like
barraged
with the smell.
Uh-huh.
It was, I don't know, I was being a weirdo. And I was like, Jimbo, I'm going to go for a walk. So I made him wait in line while I walked around.
That's exactly what I would
I went across the street to this place called Taste of Europe, which is like a European import store.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what the hell's going on in there? It was all stuff from Eastern Europe.
Weird.
Like all sorts of like candies,
licorice.
And cookies, licorices, like salted gingerbread
fish.
Type cookies. Salt all the fishes, and I tried to go buy cookies, but then they only took a minimum to their credit card. Oh. And I was like, okay, then I didn't want to buy anything anyhow, but I was like, let me just buy something from this little tiny store. Whatever, it was fine. We got in the concert. It was an interesting venue because it felt kind of like, it was really down home. It kind of felt like a like a grade school auditorium, but small.
What the fuck?
Like, it just felt like...
Did it have a stage with curtains?
It didn't. It did have a little stage. And it was like, it was because with the House of Hawaiian Music, they always serve dinner. They uh-huh. always serve plate lunch. And so they have these like fold out tables with tablecloths, like with nice tablecloths on them. So there's these like 6 foot tables with like, you know, they're like aluminum chairs kind of, or like your the
is there metal. Hawaiian food?
Yeah, plate lunch.
What?
That's what it's called.
Or yeah. Macaroni salad?
They had, what was it? Rice, Kalua pig. I think there was chicken. And I think there was mac salad also.
Macaroni salad is my shit.
Mac salad.
Mac salad. My bad. No. Mahalo. So
anyhow, so there were like tables, and then there were some like tall boy tables, high top tables. This was cool.
I forgot you were part of Ohana.
I'm not. I would never claim that. Oh my god. Kate's sitting here like racking her brain for all the Hawaiian words that she knows.
It. Aloha.
There's three. Good.
Boom. Nailed it.
But the concert was really good. Ledward is amazing. And what I like about like his style, well, he was playing solo. And like between every song, he tells a story. And the story is as long as the song. Mm-hmm. Like it's like goes on for 5 minutes. And it's just like, it's just a, they're great stories. Like either it's about the song or just some random story about him and a family member. But they're just like, it's like a whole evening of like story. Like
I love
talk
that.
Story, you know, which is kind of sweet.
I don't think there's enough patter sometimes.
You know, sometimes I actually patter. Really hate patter.
Really? And you're like, let's get on with the
well,
fucking concert.
Well, it depends. Like, with Ledward, it was okay. But usually I don't like patter. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Usually I feel like patter is like someone trying to be funny.
I like that.
And I'm like, it's not funny, bro.
I like just... when it's really stupid.
Oh, okay.
Like when they're not funny at all. When we saw Space Moth.
Oh, my God. This show's going to be nuts.
When we saw Space Moth the first time, there was this other musician opening for her. It was called Hannah. Lou, I played some of her music on the show.
Oh yeah.
Anyhow, she had one moment of patter. They were so tight. They were just like song, 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 you know, like all of them. Space Moth doesn't do patter either. Mm-hmm. But at one point, Hannah Lou was like drinking a Crystal Geyser water, and she was like, or as my 7-year-old calls it, Crystal Geyser. And that was it.
That's it.
Cute. And I was like, I would take more patter like that.
Mm-hmm. That kind of patter is different. Like, I think Ledward is actually telling stories.
Yeah.
It's not quite patter.
No.
I think some patter is good, but sometimes people go a little too far in the patter zone. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, you got to stop now. Let's get to it.
Yeah. We're good at patter.
We're obviously just
that's
fucking
all we
pattering
do patter,
around.
Patter.
There's no story. There's no information being given.
Okay. Well, overall score then?
I think Ledward is like a cool swim in the ocean.
Having an internal conflict here.
No,
about,
we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
We are doing, we're in the middle of our 10-week understanding abstraction series, and we don't agree on how many weeks we've done so far.
Well, because we have different ideas of what we're supposed to be doing from the beginning.
Apparently,
here's
so.
The deal. I was thinking we were doing 10 weeks with an artist a week,
where we
are looking at an artwork by one artist, one work by one artist. Every day, getting our feelings organized and coming and discussing. Kate, however, interpreted it differently. And Kate?
I think that, well, the real issue here is, do we include the episodes where we've interviewed somebody but not talked about a painting that we've looked at?
But we've talked about abstraction. So
exactly.
The people we've interviewed, we've only
are
been talking.
All dealing with abstraction.
Abstraction, right.
And we did that on purpose.
I think we decided, yes, we include them, but now we have to double up on the actual looking
right.
part of it.
So we're going to next week, we're going to look at two painters, two paintings.
Yes.
Which, of course, we haven't chosen.
I know.
I'm going to have to edit
we're
that
looking
in.
At, we're looking at Amy Silman and Joan Mitchell.
Yes, and I'll have the exact artworks in the underworld, so now I don't have to record
great.
Anything.
And then did we decide on the next phase, or did we just get that far?
Oh, we're not.
We're not
you
ready
think
yet.
We're planning more than that? Speaking of planning, listeners, you got to get geared up.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, we're having a live show for our 400th episode. Episode 400 is coming up.
Yay!
Like we actually did 400 and just called it 399A. No, that's 399A, and this will be 399B, because episode 400 is going to be recorded here at et al. On September 22nd from 6:30 to 8:30. Please come on down.
It's a live show.
It's going to be us recording live. We'll have an extra microphone set up if you want to jump in on the show.
You'll get to see how fucking awkward we are.
It's gonna be painful as hell. I have no expectations. I'm trying to let go.
No, it's gonna be fine. We're just gonna flail around and do our thing.
And my wish and my dream, okay,
your wish and your hope,
is that I don't rub rat juice into my eye.
Well,
right,
please
before.
Don't touch the garbage can.
I'm just not gonna involve myself with the garbage.
Listen,
cans.
This is gonna be a what night is it? Day, evening? What
Tuesday?
This is gonna be a Tuesday night. You have no reason to touch the garbage cans.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, Tuesdays is no garbage touching days.
It's gonna be a little intimate space. We'll have everything lit by candlelight.
God damn it, Maysoon. Why do you have to make these promises?
I like making promises and then
we're not doing
living
candles.
Up to that.
Candles are illegal.
Candles in a bookstore? Bad
Absolutely
news
not.
Bears.
Are we
Cut
Liberace?
Are we trying to set the place on fire?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay, so listeners,
how about
come
fake
to
candles?
That. And we want to give a huge shout out to Jim Prosser and Anonymous for being our sustaining donors for years now.
I know. What are you guys thinking?
Thank you so much. we had a listener who wanted me to say what exactly the money goes to if people donate. Well, they thought that if I say what the money goes to, more people would donate.
It goes to all the Kate's time.
Well, the big thing is our web hosting. Well, that's why we need more donors. So go ahead and go to congratulations.
Kate really does spend. Kate is our editor, and she spends a lot of time listening and re-listening to our bullshit over and over again to try to make it sound good for you guys.
And I really need those donations now, because it's finally happened where I hate myself and the sound of my own voice and my thoughts and the content of what I say. So,
wow, the abstraction series is really fucking with you.
It's something happened here. Something happened terrible. And so go ahead and go to congratulationspinetree.com and smash that donate button.
I would have quit years ago if I had to do that today.
We want to thank all the donors, sustaining and not, over the years. We thank you so much. And if you want to give us a call, go ahead, 419-351-6606. Or you can email us, congratulationspinetree@proton.me.
I think in this moment, people could also donate a tiny bit towards our 400th episode. We can get some cute things.
Pizza.
And a cake. I really want us to get a little cake.
Okay.
I did hear there was some inquiry around a potential editor.
Yeah.
And you just, like, laughed in their face, basically.
Yes.
Why? What is up with you?
Because I can't give up editing the show.
You're a control freak.
Well, not only that, but like some of the stuff we cut from the show cannot be heard by anyone else.
So we're not saying things that bad, guys.
Oh yeah, we are. Well, not like cancelable.
Yeah, but like,
but we could be
maybe
canceled
locally
by individuals. Yeah. Exactly.
So bad.
Oh my god, that just flooded me with so many
so
things
much
I could
fear.
Tell you.
Ooh.
Well, just things I could say right now, but then we'd just have to cut.
Wait,
it
just
off.
Redoing it.
See,
so you'd
that's
have to
why.
Do. You'd have to do a pre-cut before the
right.
Editing.
I'd have to edit it and then hand it over.
I think it would be cool though to have someone else edit it in their own way, like one guest, like a guest editor.
That's interesting.
Like, what would they do differently than us? Like, if we just
they
let
better put 1,000 sound effects.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, but they would be different sound effects than what you would use, probably.
Well, my sound effects library is like...
I'm not saying anything bad about what you do. What you
no,
do
I
is
know,
already
but I'm just
perfect.
Saying, like, nobody can touch how expansive my sound effects library is.
But don't you think
I
they would
like
just...
700 opening a car door.
What?
Yeah.
Can you play a few of those?
Yeah, and let's hear some now.
Should we talk about this painting
Brad
or are we fucked up?
Fucked
Stop
up.
Rubbing your eye.
Okay.
Oh my god, we're insane.
So this week we looked at a painting and I looked at it quite a
I'm
bit.
I'm worried that you looked at the wrong painting. I'm just going to say that out loud first.
Well, I looked at the painting that we linked on our website.
Did we link one on our website?
Yeah.
The et al. Adon?
Yes. It is
Lumiere 2?
Yes.
circa 1960.
Correct.
Well, I'm glad it was on the website because I spent hours fucking looking for it this morning.
Soon it was right at congratulations.pinetree.com. I
did not know. And I found it in your text.
Soon, why?
So I spent I spent hours looking at it on my stupid little fucking phone.
You were just looking at the picture I sent you over text message?
Yeah.
Well, that's not so bad.
It's not great.
We had a high res.
But then I found it on fucking Christie's.
Yeah.
Where is that where you had it?
Mm-hmm. Because they had the most high res image.
That image was really not like, if you just do on the regular Google search for her, like it was nowhere to be found.
Well, that's why you got to go to congratulationspinetree.com.
It's interesting because my immediate take was like, oh, this is not like, sorry, I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Expected?
Not as expected, but I feel like it's not what I would imagine is like typical of her style.
Oh, okay. What's it? I don't know her work that well.
I guess I would think her work is like more colorful and more like color fields, like not a bunch of little things, but like kind of these big swaths of color. Uh-huh. And so that was interesting to me. And then as I was looking at it without having any information, I was like, I feel like this must be earlier in her career. Mm-hmm. And it was. It was circa 1960, and she kind of started in like the mid-50s.
For listeners, if you haven't gotten over to congratulationspinetree.com to look at this image, you can find a link to it and the image itself in our Mansoor Narula episode if you go down to the show notes for that.
Which was 2 episodes ago?
Yes. And so this painting, how would you describe it? It's got I feel like the focal point is this kind of salmon colored,
yeah,
squarish shape, which is then surrounded by
a grayish
blue, mm-hmm. and then other stuff, other colors.
And then there's like other shapes of different kind of sizes and colors that kind of expand out a little bit.
I feel like this was the first time where I didn't see other stuff. Like as soon as I looked at it.
Oh, you didn't see like.
Or I was like, oh, this is.
That's a stream. That's a fish. That's,
yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, good.
I was
cool.
Like, just like seeing the shapes and colors and.
I feel like that's progress.
Is that progress?
I mean, I think it's a different experience. I feel like you've been struggling so much with not seeing other things.
Yeah.
Or with seeing other things. And now this one, you're just seeing the color and shapes and
just
the composition.
Seeing it for what
you're just
it is.
Seeing it.
I actually just got a book also. I got this book called Art as Art. Mm-hmm. It's the collected writings of Ad Reinhardt.
Okay.
And barely read any of it so far, but
that's fine. I think it's there's time for that.
He was a big art, like meet it as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I thought was really interesting about this piece that I don't feel like I've seen very much of is that it's clearly, it's like a panel with a canvas, a cut canvas on the panel. It's not even stretched over the panel.
That's cool.
And I was like, because I was looking, I'm like, well, that's clearly wood. But then as I got closer to the painting, I was like, well, that's clearly canvas. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting and weird or unusual. I don't know.
When I first looked at it, because it's, so the cut canvas is not a perfect rectangle.
Absolutely not. The left side is kind of curved almost.
Yeah, it looks like it's billowing out a little bit, mm-hmm. on the left. Mm-hmm. And that reminded me of fabric.
Do we think that's intentional, that it's not like a perfect rectangle? Or do we think it's just sort of like the artist is like, it's fine, it is what it is?
Which I just feel like
some sort of intention.
At the end of the day, no matter what the process was and whether things went to plan or whatever, stuff like that, like, at the end of the day, the artist chooses to display the work.
Yeah.
And so in that way, you can think it's all intentional, because mm-hmm. if they didn't intend for certain things to happen, they could have scrapped the whole thing, mm-hmm. and started over or just chose not to show it. I just feel like you can kind of assume that things are intentional.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's right.
Even if they're improvised or mm-hmm. left to chance.
Yeah. This piece to me was like, I feel like it's really clear that she uses a palette knife.
Sure.
You know, like this feels really clear to me. Like in some paintings, I might not know what materials are used or what tools are used, I guess, but this feels really clear. And then I'll find an image of her working, like painting. Mm-hmm. And so she had like a signature style, at least that's what everyone kind of referred to, where she worked flat, like she had the canvas flat on a table versus mm-hmm. like on a easel or on the wall or something,
right?
Worked just sitting down, and it's like her workspace looks this gorgeous wood table.
God damn it.
She didn't have any protection on it. There's no cover for the table. She's just like, this is just my workspace. And it was like, I was like, oh, in my mind, it was such a beautiful table. I would have never, like, I would have, like, it was just interesting, like, my response to her workspace. And then she had her little palette.
Don't get the table dirty.
Kind of like, what, you're not preserving that table? She probably had a million gorgeous wood tables. She's like, this is just another table. Whatever, damn. You know? But it was really wide. Like, it was, I don't know, probably 3 feet wide. Seems pretty wide.
3 feet only?
That feels pretty wide for a table. And then long. 5 feet. No, no, no. Wide. Like, from your body out. Okay, maybe it was 4 feet. Maybe it was 4 feet wide by who knows how big.
Okay.
But she had her few little paintbrushes. She had all of her tubes of paint on the, like, on the table.
Nice.
It was very cute. I was like, wow. I think I don't see that enough. I don't see the artist's flat workspace tables. Enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
All these motherfuckers had great studios. It makes Dude, me so jealous.
Bro.
Yeah. Bruh.
The other thing I was, so yeah, I think I was, the colors are like a little bit more, I want to say dull, but there's probably a better painterly term to use. Well, less saturated.
Muted.
Yeah, then also what I'm used to, like, her color is usually so bright, so vibrant.
I loved this color.
Yeah, this palette. Color palette. Mm-hmm. It's very soft.
To me, there's these two, like, dark red burgundy swatches.
Or three, even.
Towards the middle. One?
That's more black, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And those were kind of alarming.
Alarming?
They're so bloody.
I love them.
Right?
Mm. That's interesting.
And so those kind of disrupt things for me.
Yeah. Apparently this piece was given. Did you read the little blurb?
No, tell me.
Apparently we found this work on the Christie's Auction House page. Yes. It had a nice, you could zoom all the way in.
You could zoom.
It was great.
Yeah. Atomic zoom.
Atomic zoom. But I read the little write-up about this piece, and it was apparently donated. These pieces were given to Atel Adnan's roommate when she was at Berkeley. So there's a series of pieces that her roommate just acquired because they were living together while she was painting, basically.
Did the roommate die?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Atel Adnan died when she was, like, in her 90s.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't very long ago.
In 2021, she was 96. So I imagine the roommate was probably as old as she was.
And died.
And maybe she passed away and her kids, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, no, I mean, I actually was like, of course I wish the kids would have donated to a museum.
Right.
Instead of, like, when you donate to an auction house or give to an auction, do you make money off of that? Is that yes. How that works?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of like, eh. But maybe it's their only thing they have for an inheritance and we don't know their circumstances. Maybe they gave some pieces to a museum.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. Let's hope and pray.
Fingers crossed.
I'm just looking at my notes really quick. Oh, I was thinking this painting feels very interior to me.
Oh, what does that mean?
It feels very, like, it feels kind of emotional, I guess. It feels like the inside of your body versus the external. Do you know what I mean?
No. Is it because of the blood?
No. Well, I think because of how central, like, your eye goes straight to the center.
Yes.
So there's something about that that makes me think of, like, the inside.
Like, but heart organs?
I wasn't necessarily thinking heart. I think I was thinking
more psychological.
I was thinking
space?
More like emotional.
Oh.
Like your inner self.
Okay.
Your spiritual, maybe spiritual, maybe not.
Whoa, Maysoon, you're so anti-spiritual.
I know. I don't even know how I said that.
I can't believe you said
Can
that.
Can I said that?
Do you want to unsay it?
I think I might need to delete
I'm
that.
I'm bleeping it.
You don't have to. It's okay. Which is interesting because I feel like I don't know. I think just because of how concentrated the center is, it made me think it was an intimate. It made me feel intimate about the piece.
Okay.
Which that's kind of all I got. And I think it kind of made me feel a little bit like it slowed me down in a way.
Yeah.
Like in a contemplative way, mm-hmm. which I kind of appreciated.
I think this is my favorite thing we've looked at so far.
Oh, that's interesting. I do really like looking at her work. There were so many other pieces. I was like, oh, we should look at that one. You know, like there's other works where she has like lots of markings on a canvas, like a charcoal mark or something that looks almost like language or writing, which makes sense because she was also a poet, like a poet and writer before she even became a painter.
Yeah.
And I think, I think she looked at painting and writing as like the same kind of work, but just different ways of expressing in some ways.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some little quotes from her.
If I can find a soundbite, I'll put it in.
It's more than what you see. Your total inner world is like Van Gogh, in fact. If you look attentively, you can feel his inner problems, his fights. you know him intimately more. So he's canvassing than if you were talking with him.
It's a, here she looked at painting as the vertical translation of her horizontal writing.
Okay, interesting.
It's kind of interesting. And then she also at one point talked about earlier on, I think there was like some looking at like her work. So she was born in Beirut, mm-hmm. and then moved to Paris in 1949 to go to the Sorbonne for philosophy.
Wow.
And then she moved to the U.S. in 1955. So she was in the U.S. when she was like, she moved here when she was 30. Uh-huh. And then she moved to the Bay Area. So she's actually kind of like a Bay Area. In the painting world, she's a Bay Area legend.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool because I don't think I knew she lived out here for a second, but I didn't realize how rooted she was out here. Like yeah. her paint, she started painting here.
Yep.
This is the place that started for her.
Damn right.
Which is kind of cool. And she talks a lot about like Mount Tam.
Oh, yes. This was like, from a series about that, wasn't it?
That piece?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it sounds like thing. Mount Tam was like her spiritual like ground, you know, like everything, like Mount Tam was her center in some ways.
Oh, that was the name of this collection that this was in, Journey to Mount Tamalpais.
Yeah.
Important early works.
Right. So, I mean, I think she, yeah, 1958 or so, she started painting. So that this piece that we're looking at is like only a couple years later. So it's definitely an early work of hers. And then she was saying how like because... It was, you know, I tried to read a few articles about her from a Middle East perspective.
Yes.
Like everything we've been, because she was born in Beirut and that is how she was born and raised there until she was like in her childhood, like until she was 20, she went to Paris or something. Mm-hmm. So like that obviously influences so much of how
That's
you think,
your
how
whole
you
life.
Look, all the things, right? Yeah. So I was really curious about like how an Arab writer would frame her work because inevitably they would have a different perspective than like an American writer,
sure,
let's say.
Yeah.
I didn't do a ton of reading. I would like to do more reading about it, honestly, because it's an interesting like thing to think about yeah. how different writers they put their, you know, their impressions on the artist's work. And so it was interesting because I think Atel Adnan talked about how the aesthetics of like the Islamic world or the Arab world is more around like architecture and tapestry or textile. Uh-huh. Like that's more like in your houses, you're looking at rugs more than like paintings on the wall per se.
Sure.
At least that's how she explains it. And she was talking about like going to like the market with her dad and how she remembers looking at the things in the market in the way that we would look at paintings in a museum.
Hmm.
Like that was her museum almost, like that, huh. that experience. She says that when she came to the U.S. and was looking at painting, it was like a lightning bolt for her because it was like her kind of like fresh eyes almost until she was 30, which is like pretty not old, but like for not really having an experience with visual art in the same way that maybe you or I have growing up here
mm-hmm.
or growing up around museums a lot.
Sure.
She was like seeing painting for the first time, and maybe it was actually in France than here, but was like a lightning bolt for her. Like she just was like, what? What is this? You know, like kind Damn. Of... It like really pulled her in,
huh.
which I thought was really interesting to think about also.
That's kind of crazy to me because isn't Lebanon where like all of human culture started?
All of human culture?
Isn't Lebanon kind of like the beginning of culture? I feel like Lebanon has like the longest history of any place.
Lebanon in particular?
Lebanon, man. Lebanon goes back.
So does like China.
Not as far as Lebanon.
I don't know, something you can look into.
Lebanon, shout out.
I mean, you can say what you want. Yeah, sure, there probably were painters around her. Lebanon is a very, you know, modern society. Like when she was growing up, well, maybe not when she, I don't know what was happening in 1925, quite honestly. Shout out to Lebanon.
Shout out.
Fuck Israel.
Fuck Israel is a long and short story.
A long and short story there.
Great flag, Lebanon. With
I know,
tree.
With the tree, the cypress tree.
Maybe the Cyprus? Best. National so. Flag. Would you call that the best national flag?
No.
What is?
I don't think there's any best flag, I'm going to say.
Oh, you're
that.
Not a flag person.
Not a flag person.
You hate religion, you hate flags, you hate really any group.
Yeah.
You're not a group
I'm
person.
I'm an anti-group person.
That's crazy. I'm sad my eye is permanently destroyed by rat juice.
This one I felt was pertinent
tell me.
For us.
Tell me.
She was, I don't know where I, okay, this is where I was going. So she spent her early years writing, both as a journalist and as a poet.
Uh-huh.
And so she felt like in her writing, she was writing about her experience, like in Lebanon or Beirut, or writing about like war, you know, because she experienced all of these things. And even if she, when she wasn't living there, it was still happening and she was obviously connected.
Yeah.
So through her writing, at least her journalistic writing, she was expressing or talking about that.
Yeah.
There was some sort of conversation about like how come her paintings weren't political. Not political, but like she didn't bring politics really into her painting, which is kind of questionable because of our experiences are political in some ways and they are expressed through painting, but whether they're kind of abstracted or direct, you know?
Can it be political?
Sure.
This is a big question about abstraction.
And so I think there was, she was saying that like happy, she was more interested in happiness. That's such a, sounds so...
Fa-la-la.
Yeah. But there was a quote where she, or something where she says, happiness and suffering were two sides of a coin.
Okay.
And I kind of loved that idea for me right now in my life. I was like, I want to hold on to that a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to think about like... Sometimes I feel like the suffering is too heavy.
Yes.
And I forget that just on the other side maybe could be happiness or joy or some other like other experience. Like we're not just, we don't have to just have it on, we don't just have to have the coin on one side, right? We can just go ahead and flip it sometimes. It's not always that easy.
Right.
It's not always that easy.
Interesting.
I just appreciated like that being said, I guess. For me, it resonated strongly. I'll just say that.
I love that.
I don't know. I wanted to share that with you.
I love that, Macy.
And then there's another moment in which she says, I loved this also, where she was, I can't remember the context necessarily, but it was, I think maybe when she had just left Beirut or was in France, and she was probably in France, and she was like pissed off that France was, you know, colonizing Algeria.
Yep.
You know, she's like, fuck you guys. And she was like, she renounced writing in French. She was like, I'm never writing in French again. You know, hell like, yeah. Fuck you.
Go
and
on.
And that her, and declared that she would paint in Arabic.
Damn right.
Which I was like, I love that. I love that. Like, do we think of our paintings as I mean, she obviously thought of her paintings as language in some ways, right? But because poetry and painting were so intertwined for her. Anyhow, I think she's such an interesting painter.
Yes.
Like, I just loved reading it. I loved reading about her. And her paintings to me, like, the ones that I'm more familiar with are very striking.
Yes.
I don't have, like, a strong emotional response, but I do feel kind of like the joyousness or something with them. And that feels really, it feels good to me to look at her painting.
Yeah. Is this your favorite one so far?
I don't know if this painting that we chose is my favorite one.
It is very uncharacteristic.
Of her work. That's the word.
It's funny, though, to think that any of them are painted in Arabic, what with them being completely abstract.
What does that mean, you know?
Except some of them are landscapes.
Yeah. But the landscapes are, like, reflective of all the many places she's been, like Mount Tam, here, the California landscape. And so I just liked the, it felt fun to me to think about that.
You can definitely, in her later work, I feel like you can feel the joy more.
Mm-hmm.
With the bright, playful colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Maysoon, I've got a gripe. Actually, I have a lot of gripes. Can we save it for Gripe Corner at the
gripe
end?
Gripe Corner coming
okay,
right
we'll
up.
We'll save that. Okay, so there's this painting. It has this little purple guy. This little dark colored guy with two purple.
Oh, God, yeah. Is that
I
so good?
I think that's just a detail of this painting she made called Persian in 1963 to 64.
So there's also
the,
early,
see, now
but
that one I can see. That one is like a little rock with eyeballs.
But what's that with the vertical orange coming out of that? I don't know.
I love it.
I love it, too. I like the, it's like... That scent, she has really strong central compositions.
Yes.
It's so interesting to me. Like, they feel really strong to me. Yeah, like that too.
Atel Adnan, we give you 10 out of 10. Thank you for your work and thank you for being you.
Aw.
Any other final thoughts on this one?
I wanted to ask you how you felt with this as a painter.
Oh, well, I think that's part
of
why.
I have a question.
Oh.
But you can go on too.
Nope.
She says something about that. Painting is a collaboration between you and the tools that you use.
Interesting. Sure.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I wanted to ask you.
Oh, that's
about that.
The whole question?
Just that notion of like your brushes, your canvas, your paint, your palette, like all the tools that you use to make something. Is it a collaboration or do you feel like not necessarily? That's how she looked at it.
Well, this is hilarious because I feel like this is the same question we had when we were talking about making your cat paint. And whether it's a collaboration. Or if you're using the cat like a tool.
That's hysterical that's where your brain went. I love that. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Because.
Interesting. Well, are you claiming it as your painting or is it the cat's painting? If it's a cat's painting, then it's them.
Yeah.
But if it's yours, then your cat's your fucking tool.
But the thing
tool.
Is, you're setting up the situation. The right? cat's not going to grab the paint and the brush and the whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like if we're going to Duchamp status.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about conceptual art. It's like, who did the conceptualizing? It wasn't the cat.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
But I'm sure Duchamp would acknowledge collaborators in some of his work. Not Duchamp. Okay, maybe not Duchamp.
I don't know.
He doesn't really collaborate with the toilet manufacturer, does he?
Urinal.
The urinal manufacturer.
Sorry. You know, I need to read more Duchamp. We have
okay,
loads
well,
of
books.
Okay,
well, let's go back to the cat.
Okay. Well, actually, let's go back to the tools.
Great, thank you.
I think it's all kinds. Sometimes it feels like a collaboration. Sometimes it feels like a battle.
Do you ever get mad at your tools? Or
yes.
Like, fuck you. Like, you're not doing what I need you to do right now. Or, like, what does that look like?
I think most of my anger when I'm doing art making is directed inward.
Sure.
So I don't usually get mad at my tools so much.
You're not,
myself.
Like, snapping paintbrushes
oh,
in half?
Oh, never, never.
Oh,
never,
they're
never.
Like set with the
I
sacrilege.
Never get that upset. Mm-hmm. It's more just, like, light frustration.
Mm. Oh, light, you know? Really?
Yeah. Where I'm just like, oh, this isn't going well. But it's usually kind of like a slow realization.
You're like, I've just spent like, hours and now I'm just like, fuck.
Because I'm making every decision thinking I'm making something better.
The decision, yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, all those decisions that were supposed to make it better have actually made it worse.
Shit.
So now, you know, and then usually I'm like, let's take a break.
Yeah, perfect. I think that's a great response.
Yeah, because the more you fuck with it, the more it's gonna get
it's
worse.
Not getting better.
It's weird.
Is that true? You can't fuck with it to the point of it getting better. You have to actually leave it alone.
Well, I need to stop when it starts to get like that. Not that I'm gonna junk the whole piece, but yeah. Just that I probably need to come back fresh.
Yeah,
even if it's just a short break or something.
Yeah,
that's the fucked up thing about art making is like, you'll be working in the studio and you'll be like, I have all day to work on this. And but you know, you'll work on it for like a few hours and then you hit a wall and you're like, I could, you know, all the time in the world isn't going to help me make this better right now.
Yeah. You're like, I'm done for now.
And then you just got to switch to something else. And then often for me, that's like administrative shit. Oh. Like, oh, I'll apply for a grant.
Mm-hmm.
I just got rejected for a California Arts Council grant.
Oh.
It was brutal, brutal.
The grant process?
The rejection.
The rejection.
The process, the rejection. It's always a bummer.
Do we know why you got rejected? Can you get some feedback? They seem like the group that would give feedback, actually.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not really interested in feedback.
Do you want me to get feedback for you?
No.
Should I call them and be like, I'm Kate Rhodes. I'd like some feedback, please.
No. I mean, that probably is a smart thing
They're
to do.
They're probably very nice, Kate.
Oh, I know. I know all of them. They are. It was Kala administered it, so I know all the Kala people.
Oh, they applied for a grant that would include you in a show kind
no,
of thing?
No, they were the administrators of the California Arts Council grants this year. So basically,
what does that mean?
You,
what do you mean?
Sent your thing to Kala,
oh.
And then the Kala people organized the jury,
the
I
panel.
Guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The panel
and
review.
Then,
mm-hmm.
And then they sent out the rejections or whatever.
So California Arts Council like outsourced.
It sounds like it.
I don't understand that.
I know.
It seems kind of problematic because Kala would seem like they know so many of the artists who are applying that it could.
Well, I don't think they judged it.
Oh, they had a panel.
Right. Yeah. So I don't
Interesting.
Know. I don't know why it went that way, but I love Kala.
What was the application? Like, did you have to present?
Oh,
propose,
I don't even remember.
Did you have to propose a project?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I applied for so many things in a big tear after I got off the Solowit project because
oh,
I had
no.
that money.
Yeah.
And now I'm just getting rained down on with rejections.
Have you ever considered getting like a grant writer? Like just to help navigate some
nah.
of that? Why?
Well, I don't apply for grants that often. So I just, Maysoon, I think it's just like, there's only so much you can do, you know? The grant writer's not going to change your work.
But don't you think it's not really your work?
I think the work is the main thing.
What?
Yeah, dog. Work is always.
Can you send me one of these applications?
Absolutely not.
I want to review it.
It's mortifying.
I just want to see
it. It's humiliating.
Come on.
You got to get on a panel.
But I'm your pal.
Oh, yeah, you're my pal, but that's the last. I would rather a stranger see it. Oh, my God.
Do you have Katie? Do you have Katie look at it?
Nope.
Wait, Kate, you have to have someone look
no.
at it. No. This makes is part of the problem. Crawl. You need, but you need the other
Maysoon,
eyes.
That's private.
You need some other eyes.
Maysoon, that's between me and the Lord.
No, it's between you and your cat.
Leave
tomato.
Room for Jesus. Okay.
Maybe you should just go full 100% into Jesus love.
You think that would get me there?
No, you have to leave art.
The humiliating thing about the last big round of applications that I did was my project that I'm proposing is about my psychotic episode. Kind of.
Yeah.
And that's...
I'm like, they're dumb not to take that. That's annoying.
Thank
as
you,
fuck
Maysoon.
To me.
Bless you.
That like shrug was like, duh, take that shit.
But talking about that in an application sounds
terrible.
So unhinged. Where you're like, oh yeah, I'm psychotic sometimes.
See, this is why it'd be good to share the narrative maybe with
yeah,
someone
no,
else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make it. I'm
How about your
speaking
mom?
Very academically, so it's not like sounding like
yeah.
I'm a raging lunatic when I'm writing the application.
It's not like one of your zines. Is it the same
Where
language?
You know, I applied.
Because the zine language is very different.
I applied for residency in like Finland or Sweden or somewhere in Scandinavia. And like a lot of their stuff was in Finnish or whatever.
Okay.
Some other language. And so when I applied with a PDF of a comic, a textless.
Textless?
Textless?
So just images?
Of what I would do if I was there. And it was like me making my project. This was such a bad idea. It was such a bad idea. And so needless to say, I got rejected, but sure enough.
It's kind of interesting, though.
It was a great comic.
Do you look at like what they're actually funding when you apply? Do you do like a, which artists have they worked with? Like,
yes.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, for sure.
Just to make sure you kind of fit within the general.
Sure. Sometimes, you know, I'll even bring that into the application.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know, my work is in the lineage of these other artists that you've had here.
And oh, yeah. That's great. Cool.
Someday I'll be the
I was going to ask you about the Big B, but I
Bemis?
Wasn't
well,
sure if I should.
Well, they're closed down.
Oh,
they're like shut up for a couple of years.
Oh, good.
Because they're like,
because they never accepted you.
They're doing a little time to reflect on why they've rejected me like 14 times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had to shut down for that. They were like 2 years.
Has it been 14 times?
No.
And no, like, it's more than 11. But
I think it's like 13.
Rat juice. Definitely not.
Oh, never get that back.
I'll pick it up, but I've never
Maysoon
put it back on
dropped her bottle cap on the ground and now it's contaminated.
It's rat juice. I'm never touching it.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so people get out there and apply.
Is this
things.
Part of Gripe Corner?
Okay, let's get into Gripe Corner.
That wasn't even, gosh, that wasn't even Gripe Corner.
Here's some gripes just from this morning.
Oh, okay. Rat juice.
I went to Arizmendi. Some motherfucker had twin babies in a stroller. I'm
inside?
Sorry.
Inside?
You got to not be blocking the thoroughfare, people. There's fires. There's me needing to get out of the building.
But if he's by himself with the twin babies, what's he supposed to do?
They're in a stroller. Just scoot. Just scoot so people can get past you.
But, you know, it's confusing there the way they're set up. Because you know what they should probably do is just have like a little tape or some
yes.
clear definition of like,
yes.
this is the line.
Yes.
And have it be right in the middle. Because oftentimes there's two registers going and then you stay
table.
In the middle. You stand in the middle. And that way you can access the pastries or the food, whatever you call
I
those
mean,
things.
That's...
And then you can also access the other side, the tables, the fucking coffee creamer or whatever
yes.
shit. And
yes.
then the bathroom in the back.
Yes.
And then that way it wouldn't be as chaotic. But I think people are trying to like be in line and grab shit. They're trying to be like, I'm in both places at once, you know?
Yes.
I have often thought about a redesign for Arizmendi to make the flow better. And I don't know if I know what that is still.
I think it's just if we could just shrink things a tiny bit, like the tables, if we could just shave those down a few inches and just scoot them over a little bit. If we could also just get the people with twin babies, just leave them outside. Okay. Like you would with a dog.
You know, maybe they should have... Oh, my God. I like how I was just going to ignore that. Listen, people, we don't hate babies at CPT. It's all good. But maybe see if your friend sitting in the parklet could watch your babies while you get the food.
No, put them kidding. In the parklet, guys.
No.
No, it was fine. Whatever.
And the babies couldn't walk it. It's like you could send them in and be like, go get that.
So that's a bummer. And I say, fuck you to the cops. Oink, oink, little piggy. And we're going to go ahead and say,
free Palestine.
And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.